The following is an encore episode of The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde. The topic is the mystery of good and evil. We hope you enjoy. From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Tillman's Corner, Father Stephen Brazell. And now, your host, the Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to the Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life.
And I'm Father Stephen Frizzell, Pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Tillman's Corner, and we are joined and led, as always, by our Archbishop, Thomas Rohde.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Father Frizzell, Mr. Ahrensberg, and to share our conversation with those listening.
Well, I'm looking forward to today's conversation. We're going to talk about something a little different. We've talked in the past about the problem of evil, but we're going to talk about the mystery of evil and the mystery of good. I'm really looking forward to the program. Archbishop, could you lead us in prayer before we start?
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In all things, God, you are with us. In our joys, our struggles, our pains, our sorrows, our successes, our failures, you're with us in the light and in the dark. And you call us to trust in you. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit to trust that you are with us and that with you we can handle anything. Help us always to stay close to you and your love as we offer our prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I really liked when I got your text or email. I forget how you sent me the proposal for the titles of the shows, Archbishop. But the framing of the question, because I've always encountered this question, you know, the problem of evil. But you want to talk about the mystery of suffering, not just the problem of it.
The mystery of evil. You know, it gets to, it begins with a question often asked when talking with people of all ages. You know, if there's a God, why do bad things happen? Why is there evil? Why is there suffering? That's a question that people grapple with. And it's amazing how young in life people start asking them. I mean, grade school kids ask that question, and it's asked up into our last breath very often. You know, it's something that is, as St. Paul says, the scandal of the cross in Scripture is how he describes it. You know, there is this stumbling block that we encounter when we encounter suffering in our lives. And in the final analysis, there isn't going to be an answer. You know, spoiler alert on this show. If you're looking for something that's going to make, oh, of course that's the answer, we're not going to offer it. The greatest theologians have wrestled with this. It is going to be a mystery. But it's a mystery we can talk about, a mystery we can examine, and a mystery that we can come to be at peace with when we can place it in God's hands and realize, although it is a mystery, God is with us in the midst of that. And because of that, we can trust.
And I think that's the deeper angst or suffering to suffering, is that you feel abandoned. That how can there be a God if this is happening? So the suffering is one thing. But then the sense of isolation that seems to come with it, because you feel like, why is he letting me go through this? And as you were talking, Archbishop, just this isn't any deep theological point, but just to capture the emotion of it a little bit. As a dad, I've had to take my children in for inoculations. And if you've ever taken a two-year-old to get shots, the look they give you when you're holding them down so that the nurse can give the shot, and they look at you with this, how could you let this happen? I mean, you are here and you're letting this happen. And it's devastating emotionally.
Yeah. And I think that the idea of our own suffering is troublesome enough to make us cause that question. So I am enduring this suffering And so I want to know why God is allowing this. Or, you know, I'm the 2-year-old and I'm looking at my parent in the face, seeing this happen and wondering why they're allowing it to happen. But even more so, I mean, the question becomes much more pointed and much more urgent when it's not my suffering that is causing me to ask it, but when I see someone else's suffering, particularly someone else's suffering that I love, that I see them having to endure something that I can't do anything about. And then I ask, well, why isn't God doing something about this? Because this is not something that they should be enduring. This is not, it's not fair. And I don't mean that to sound whiny. I mean that, like, a lot of times suffering is not just. It's not happen. Like, this person doesn't deserve to go through this. And it can really trouble our hearts that we have to witness that and wonder, why is it being permitted?
Well, and in a moment like that, we're like Mary at the cross. Mary could only stand there. She could do nothing. And she knew her son didn't deserve any of this. If there was one person who deserved not to suffer, it was the Lord himself. And yet Mary could not even give her son water when he cried out that he thirsted. She could just stand there and suffer with him. And yet, even in the midst of the horror of the cross, God was in the midst of that. God's love was in the midst of that. And that goes to, Pat, what you were just saying, that we feel so often when we suffer that God isn't here, that suffering is somehow the absence of God. Because if God was here, this wouldn't be happening. But God is there, and that's the mystery of the suffering, and where we're called to trust that in the midst of that suffering, that God is working right there in the midst of all that. He's not left the scene, you know, and Mary standing at the cross was watching her son suffer, and yet God was there too, actually working a work of love in the midst of the horror, the suffering, the pain, the passion of the cross. He was right there. And that's the mystery that we're called to trust in. You know, in there's no answer that we're going to come up that's fully going to explain this. Now, in the Bible, the book in the Bible that most addresses the mystery of suffering is the book of Job. And Job, who is a good man, who knows he's not being punished, suffers greatly. He loses his health. He loses his property. He loses his house. All of his children die. And finally, he stands before God and he says, why? And God doesn't answer. Instead, God says, basically to Job, were you the one who created the earth? Did you create the seas? Did you place the stars in the heavens? Did you teach the hawk how to soar, give the horse its strength? And Job knows what God is saying to him. Job, my mind far surpasses yours. I could never explain to you what is happening and why it's happening. And Job, realizing that, bows before God and says, I will ask no more questions. In other words, God, I will never understand. Because even if you tried to explain it to me, I couldn't understand. Pat, like you said, even if you tried to explain to your 2-year-old kid why your kid was getting a shot, your kid could not understand it. But Job says, but I will trust. I will trust. And Jesus on the cross is suffering. And he says, why? You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then he says, into your hands I commend my spirit. I trust you, Father, even in the midst of all this. And that's the mystery of suffering, the mystery of evil, to be able to say, God, I know you haven't left me. I don't get this. I don't understand this. I don't like this, but I trust you. And that's the mystery that we're called to address.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, WNGL, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. I'm Father Verzel, here with Pat Ahrensberg and Archbishop Rohde, and we are talking about the mystery of evil. Now, another part of the mystery of evil that we haven't really talked about so much is, why is it that mundane suffering sometimes has to hurt so much. Like, I get that stubbing your toe should hurt, but why does it have to hurt that bad? Or hitting your funny bone. Like, what? Mm-hmm. What's that all about? So sometimes I find myself questioning God in those moments, like in a small way and kind of half joking and always kind of come back around to it. But like, God, why couldn't it just work out a little bit better? Oh, well, this world is passing away and it's just not sufficient. And sometimes we're going to have to deal with things that are either annoying or difficult. But those kinds of sufferings, that's something to endure as well and not to be overlooked. It's certainly nothing to compare with the bigger things, but that is something I reflect on. Because I seem to stub my toe a lot. I don't know. But I find myself wondering, God, why does that have to hurt so bad? But it does. Oh, well.
So, Archbishop, I'd like to go back to the book of Job. Was it the book of Job that then Job says, we accept good things from the Lord, should we not also accept the bad?
Absolutely.
So I find it interesting that part of the mystery is that in our own kind of dual standards that we have for the Lord. So, you know, I don't question you as long as you're doing good things for me. But as soon as things go not so well, as soon as I stub my toe, okay, now I suddenly have kind of a lack of trust. And it really kind of rooted there, it seems to me.
I trust you, God, as long as things are going well. Mm-hmm. But if things are not going well, then I don't trust you because suffering is evil. Right, Pat?
I find it interesting because people often, in just common language, will equate the two, suffering and evil, and they're really not at all the same. You know, if suffering is intrinsically evil, the cross makes no sense because mm-hmm. Jesus embraced that, and it was an act of love. And really, when you think about your greatest moment, think of the greatest act of love you've ever committed. There's suffering in that. You know, whether it was emptying the dishwasher or
the greatest act of love you've ever done.
Let me tell you what, at 5:30 in the morning, that's pretty close to the top. You know, but emptying the dishwasher or giving something away that really mattered to you. That
or giving
you
somebody a kidney.
Giving somebody a kidney. You know, those the things that we would identify as the greatest moments of love were also the greatest suffering. So
forgiving someone when they don't deserve it.
Oh, goodness gracious. There's a lot of suffering.
There's a lot of suffering in there.
And so suffering and evil are not the same. In fact, in a lot of ways, I think suffering is much more closely related to love than evil.
It's also, there's a lot of evil that is done precisely to avoid suffering. Like people commit all kinds of evil that might not bring about any direct suffering to them especially, but even like nothing that's apparent. But moral evil a lot of times doesn't involve physical suffering. You're right. Evil and suffering are not the same thing.
I remember reading something about Father Francis Xavier Silos, who I have a great devotion to, and one of our parishes here in the Archdiocese of Mobile is named after him, Blessed Francis Xavier Silos. He's been beatified, hopefully one day canonized, and we'll call him saint. But until then, I enjoy reading about his life. And one comment that was observation that was made by someone who knew him, he said, when in the midst of sickness, Father Silos just had a way of expressing to people that God uses sickness as an opportunity to tear one away from the world and make them holy. And, you know, and I've often thought of that, you know, that at times that we are experiencing suffering, as much as God did not create the world to suffer, it's our sinfulness that has brought suffering into the world, God can use the suffering to make us holy. It's amazing how he can get our attention at times like that. It's amazing how we're willing to let go of the world and to look for something else, that there has to be something more to life and deeper in life. And God can powerfully work in our heart in the midst of the times of discomfort.
So I know I'm stealing this from you. I think maybe even from this year's Christmas message. But it's just funny how easy it is for us to become attached to things that God created and become so distracted by that that we don't even long after the Creator anymore. Mm-hmm. I think you used the analogy and likened it to children on Christmas Day when they get the boxes. And they play with the boxes and they don't even pay attention to the real gift that is there. And suffering has the uncanny ability to focus somebody. You know, when you're distracted by the created things of God, it's very easy to get lost, and then some suffering hits and you reach out because you feel alone and you start searching for the creator of those goods.
I was with someone just the other day and they're facing, they know they have a terminal illness. And, he was saying, I used to be so attached to this home. I love this house. And he says, but this is just stuff, and it's so unimportant. I'm really glad I have this time that I can reflect upon what's truly important. It's important for each one of us to leave this world before we have to depart this world. And if you understand what I'm saying, to leave this world in the sense of detaching ourselves from unhealthy attachments before we have to depart this world, before we have to die. So to leave the world before we have to depart it. And suffering helps us to focus on what's truly important.
So we've spent the last few minutes talking about how suffering can help me, how it can change me, help refocus me, etc. But I'm also struck, Archbishop, when I think about the mystery of suffering, I think about what St. Paul said. I don't really understand how electricity works. I don't really understand how gasoline powers my car exactly. I know there's an explosion. And I also don't really understand how my suffering can make up what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. But Scripture tells us, St. Paul tells us, that my suffering can somehow benefit Father Verzel and other people, not just me in the ways we've already talked about, but somehow in a mysterious way, my suffering can build up the body of Christ. Explain that to me, Father Verzel.
I think the word we've been using often on this mystery. Program is mystery. There's something else that God wishes to accomplish in us and in our using our suffering to do it. How we use suffering is not evil. I mean, obviously, suffering was not intended from the beginning. God created the world and created to be good. At the same time, suffering is, although it's a result of sin, it's not necessary. How we use suffering can be very good. It's not evil. And in the midst of suffering, God is still there. But he's doing something. And he's even, as St. Paul is saying, that I'm making up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. That's a powerful statement. It's a discomforting statement that we're called to enter into the suffering of Christ.
To willfully embrace suffering, not even suffering that comes upon us outside of our control, but to seek it out is something that is a part of our Catholic tradition that we don't really talk about enough. It comes up every Lent, and we kind of take on the idea of, fasting or doing some kind of sacrifice. But this has been a part of our tradition throughout, going all the way back to St. Paul, that we're meant to suffer for each other, just as Christ suffered for us. We're meant to make that an offering, make that even a prayer. There have been times when people have asked me to pray for this or that thing, and because of the importance of it or the urgency of it or whatever, I've felt it necessary to even go so far as to fast, to seek out a little bit of suffering, a little bit of discomfort, a little bit of or even a lot of that, because it does matter. Not because I'm earning something in the way that Christ's blood earns something, but because I am standing in solidarity with, and I am making my prayer something that is more than just words and thoughts, but I am, it's sort of amplified even. And I feel like as we offer our suffering for others, whether it's chosen or something that comes upon us without our choosing it, great spiritual fruit especially can be achieved, you know, so suffering offered for the holy souls in purgatory, but even for people who are suffering in this life, people who are in need of conversion, so many things that we can offer our suffering for. And so once again, I go back to your point, Pat, that evil and suffering are not the same thing, because I cannot offer my evil for someone else's good, but I can definitely offer my suffering for their good. You're listening to The Archbishop's Show on WNGL, Archangel Radio, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. I'm Father Verzel here with Pat Ahrensberg and Archbishop Brody, and we're talking about the mystery of evil.
And the mystery of good.
There we go.
And we're going to get to that in just a minute. I just one thought to close up what we were talking about. That is, I think God is inexorably drawn to our suffering, not because he's somehow sadistic. You know, we grew up being told to offer it up. And, you know, as a kid, you can, well, why does God delight in my suffering? I don't think he delights in our suffering. He delights in our love. And so, you know, I picture my child, if I had, if Buddy said, hey, I want to buy a particular gift for Mary. Like, great. I don't have any money. So I have to go buy it. Well, I'm not so attracted to that. But if Buddy took everything he had and gave it away, sold it so he could buy Mary a present, but he came up short. Oh, that sparks my father's heart, that love to join in with that to make up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when someone's willing to sacrifice for another, oh, I think God in his grace is just drawn to that moment.
Is it a psalm that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones? Like that in being faithful, like to him that we would suffer is something that is precious to him, not because he's sadistic, but because it
shows love.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And God is love, and God is totally attracted to love because that's his image.
It's who he is.
But if we want to talk about the mystery of evil, mystery of suffering, and that can cause us to question if there is a God. All right, Pat, how about the mystery of good?
Yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
If there is good in the world, that should cause us to believe that there is a God, because good is as much a mystery as evil is. Why is there good in the world?
If you want to solve the mystery of good, you have to go to the intersection of Laurentine Road and Dauphin Island Parkway, where Father Dan Good lives, in St. Philip Neri.
Oh.
That mystery will never be.
Well,
no, but seriously.
Listener, I apologize for that, but anyhow.
Seriously, question of the first part of the program where we ask why, you know, that we notice that evil and suffering is wrong, that means that there's something about us that knows the good, right? If we have a notion of justice and innocence and guilt and fairness, then there's something written on our hearts about goodness, right? Where does that come from?
Isn't it just a matter of self-preservation? We do good because, you know, if I'm a nice person, people do nice things for me, isn't it?
Well, you know, we could point to the higher animals seem to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they feed their young? Don't they defend their young, etc.? But that's a little bit different. That's more self-interest. Animals want to pass on their genes. They will protect their offspring because somehow they realize that's them that they're passing on. But that's not the type of good that I'm referring to here, that we will, as human beings, it's hardwired into us to do good even when it's not in our self-interest. You know, an animal will bring food to its young, but human beings, we bring food to people we don't even know and we'll never meet again, because it's hardwired into us. When we do acts of love, when we do good things, actually, we feel good about it.
Crazy, isn't it?
Well, but we're hardwired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the sociologists, psychiatrists, mm-hmm. psychologists, you know, we'll have studied this, that there's something about being concerned about neighbor broadly speaking, causes us to feel good. But there is something in us that deeply resonates in that, even if it causes us pain, even if it's sacrificial, even if it's not in our best interest, we feel good about it. That's a mystery, that we are hardwired that way. And so why are we hardwired that way?
You know, it's funny, because I think when you look back at the book of Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. It's just who we are. You use the phrase hardwired. It's hardwired into us. It's what we're made to do. And, you know, it's funny. You look around, our culture is richer, I think, than any other culture ever. And yet so many of us are very unhappy, because we've been sold a lie about what's going to make us happy, that being selfish, putting ourselves at the center makes us happy, when the reality is, just like it or not, when you give yourself away, you're happier. When you do things for others, you're happier. You know, so it kind of makes you reevaluate or hear in a different way when Jesus says, you want to be my follower, take up your cross and follow me. It's not just saying suffer for me. What he's saying, if you want to be happy, stop trying to be happy. Stop putting yourself at the center. Because when you put others first, that's how you were made, and then that will make you happier.
My burden is easy, he says.
One of the ways that we can come to believe that there is a God is the mystery of good. Well, we've come to the end of our time. Shall we ask God's blessing?
Please.
May the blessing of God be upon you, upon all of your loved ones, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring Father Stephen Verzel, as well as Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.